You can turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, and then I'll launch out from there. It says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live.'" The writer of the Proverbs is giving us an insight into his own recollections of what his father taught him. And the instruction to us is always to look to our parents for instruction. For some people, that's hard to do. For some people, it's impossible to do because of maybe a circumstance. But this morning, I'm going to give you guys a little insight into things that I've learned from my father. My father passed away November 29th, just a month ago. And I was very blessed to be able to live with my dad his last month and to be able to care for him. And when the clock struck the 29th, I happened to wake up. And I woke up and I knew I couldn't go back to bed. And God had something for me that night. The interesting thing was, is in the month that I lived with him, there was other nights that, or no other night did I get up like this. This was something that I felt like God was getting me up for a reason. Not only did I get up, but God said, "Hey, I want you to do some writing." He wanted me to journal the night. So I started journaling the night. I said, "My dad, my pop is passing away. It looks like now is the time." I sit in his kitchen as he lay in the hospice bed 15 feet from me as I type this. "It is 12:43 a.m., dark, a bit chilly outside this desert night. The desert is quiet. The home is quiet. As I wonder when his last breath will be, what will it be like? Not to mention all my own tension and emotion." There's things that I want to share with you about what I learned about God from my dad. It's an exciting time for me. You guys are my church. I love the body of Christ here at CCF. I've been here 25 years. And I have a wonderful privilege of being able to share with you things that I learned from my father today, as I'm told to do in the Proverbs. There's really four things I'm going to touch on. One of them, they're all about God. God is an all-powerful God. He's a merciful God. He's a loving God. And God is a graceful God. All concepts that we've heard of before in many sermons, but I hope to articulate maybe something new to you today, something that you would grab, that the Holy Spirit would reveal to your heart, and that you would walk away from here different. Changed. For that is the will of God, the desire of God for us is that we are changed by his word. I moved with my dad when I was 14 years of age. And my dad was sobering up. He was in recovery. So I moved into kind of a recovery home, if you will. And it was really fun because, you know, I kind of was already a little bit rebellious, you could say, as the youngest of two boys. And I went and when I moved with him, he sat me down and I thought, oh man, what is my dad going to tell me? You know, he's going to probably give me a bunch of rules, you know, because that's what parents do. You know, they give you rules. And he said, hey, Bo, we got to talk. You know, you're coming to live with me. And I said, yep. And he said, well, I got a couple things for you, you know. You know, can you, you know, just, you know, about a C average in school, just kind of try to keep a C average going, you know. And that's like one of the main rules, you know, try to keep that going. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I try to do that, Dad. And he's like, yeah, and the other thing is just try to, like, just keep talking to me. Just keep talking to me. You know, just keep the lines open, you know, just chatting. You know, if you're going to go out, you know, just let me know kind of thing. There was no text back then. So, and it was funny that he was, a lot of people would think my dad almost was like so off hands, you know, in a lot of the way he parented. And yet he communicated to me something at a very early age about God as he was growing in his knowledge of God too. And that was that God was all powerful to reach me in his own special way. That my dad didn't have to coerce. He didn't have to force. He didn't have to hold down. He didn't have to make me into what he is or what he was or what he was becoming. But he was teaching me an amazing concept in the Bible, and that was God is a God who saves. God has the ability to reach people on his own terms when he wants to. And we see that from the scriptures, do we not? When God wants to reach a man like Paul, he rides a horse on his way to Damascus, and he gets knocked off. And God says, now. Now is the time. God's got a way of doing those things with even kings like Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, where God's got a way of saying, you know what? Now comes the time for your humbling. Now is the time for you to know who I am. I was blown away that when I look back that my dad could trust that God could save by many or by few, but that it was God who does the saving. I am a parent too, and as a parent, there is something that creeps into our hearts that is deadly, though it is so subtle that it destroys subtly too. And that is fear. It is fear that somehow your child or your kid is not going to come to Jesus. And therefore you need to force or coerce them into the kingdom of God. And when you sow to the flesh in your life, and fear is not faith, and when you sow to fear, you will reap a harvest of that. You might have your family in control the way you want them to be controlled. You might have the marriage the way you want it. But there is a yeast that has permeated into that dough that will touch every part of your kid's life, your family's life. And it will be so subtle. I love Tozer's writing, A.W. Tozer. For you younger people, get his book, Pursuit of God. It's a good one. I read it in my 20s. I was like, man, this dude rocks. A.W. Tozer wrote this. We are often hindered from giving up our treasures. Think of your treasures as your family, your loved ones. We're often hindered from giving up our treasures to the Lord out of fear for their safety. This is especially true when those treasures are loved relatives or friends. But we need have no such fears. Our Lord came not to destroy, but to save. Everything is safe which we commit to him, and nothing is really safe which is not so committed. Isn't that great what Tozer's catching on? That everything is safe with God. Do I trust God? The most amazing thing, again, about living with my dad is my dad believed that God could save his son in a miraculous way. That God was big enough and great enough and all-powerful enough, despise him, to touch me. And so he would get with me and he would say, hey, you know, you study a bunch of stuff if you want. You know, seek. Because what does the Bible say? Seek and you shall. But do you trust that, Mom? Do you trust that dad? Do you trust that husband? Do you trust that wife? Do you trust that friend, daughter, son? Seek and you shall find. He trusted that I could seek God and that I would find God. And so he didn't have to move upon that fear that was in his heart to force or coerce. He could simply trust. Abraham in our Old Testament had a son named Isaac, precious son to Abraham. But yet, God knew that Isaac was an idol to Abraham. He was the promised son. And the last thing Abraham wanted was to lose that promised son. And yet God said, you know what? Lay down your son. He's not really safe until he no longer is that idol. See, when we live out of fear of one's safety and we're coercing and manipulating and making and forcing, what we're doing is we're creating an idol in our life. Instead of trusting God over the person, instead, we're trusting our ability to move the situation, to manipulate. And that in itself becomes an idolatrous act before the true and living God. And God doesn't look at that and go, right on. God looked at that in Abraham's life and says, it is time to lay down that idol. It is time to let go and let God. And Abraham, we are told in the book of Hebrews, had faith to trust in a God who could raise his son. Do you believe God could raise your kids from their slumber, from their death? Even now, do you believe God is powerful enough to resurrect your loved ones from the dead? See, the way my dad treated me was that he had all the faith in the world that it was going to turn out okay with me. And that's how he talked with me. It was always no coercion in it at all. It was always in a way that made me feel like that I could seek God on my own terms, never having to do certain things to please him, or that I let him down. So I learned God was all powerful. I also learned from my dad that God was a God of mercy. I learned at a young age, in my young teenage years, I'd hear these terms. My dad would always use them. Patience, tolerance, understanding, forgiveness. And he didn't just use those terms. he would sit me down and he'd say, "Hey, Bo, man, I got something to share with you." And I'd be like, "Yeah." And he'd be making Spam and molasses. And he would confess. And he would confess. He would say something that we know all too well in our church. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Confess your sins one to another that you may be healed." James says it as it's something normal in our life. Confess. That's what we do. But is it really what we do? And what prevents us from the confession? What prevents us from moving forward in this? See, my dad taught me that God was merciful on people, that you can show weakness before an all-powerful God. That God was also merciful on people. And so it was okay to show weakness before an all-powerful God. That's tough for us in our world. So my dad would talk to me about his failures in life. He would talk to me about the things he did wrong when I was young. What he did wrong in his marriage. Not blaming. Not saying this is what your mother did. Mm-mm. Always him. This is what I did. This is what I did wrong. Powerful. I didn't even know God back then. And all the seeds, though, were just being planted. That, you know what? It was okay to show weakness. It was okay as a man to show frailty. And that God is glorified when we are dependent upon him. And your weakness shows dependency on God. When I go to my son and say, "Hey, forgive me. Your dad's struggling with this. The reason why I'm treating you the way I'm treating you is because I really am fearful of what might happen to you in your life. And so I am trying to control this situation. And I'm sorry, son, that is fear. I have a great amount of fear in my heart. And it is moving me in ways I do not wish it would. And I need to surrender to the lordship of Jesus, who loves you more than me, and to give you over to him. And I am sorry for the way I have manipulated and treated in this moment." What that shows him is that his dad is not strong, as in not dependent on God, but it shows that he is needing God. So what it doesn't show is that he's not independent of God. It's showing that he really is dependent on God. And isn't that what glorifies the Lord? Is that when you show that you are dependent on the Lord, when you do confess your sins one to another, when you show the frailty that you have? How do you teach your wife, husband? What do you show her? What do you teach your wife? What do you teach your husband? What do you teach your kids about forgiveness? See, the only way you can teach forgiveness is if someone needs to be forgiven. Yeah. So if there's no confession ever in the relationship, then there's no grace, and there's no mercy, and there's no forgiveness. Isn't that radical? You throw out the hugest concepts in the Bible. You're throwing out the hugest parts of the Word of God in your life. Oh yeah, you know them intellectually. But that doesn't do nothing for you unless the Spirit of God quickens your heart to do it, to move in it. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." How is your mercy? Do you have loving tolerance in your life? Do you bear with one another? See, the radical examples I had in my life of my dad was, man, he was a guy who could talk to anybody. You can be anybody and talk to my dad. Because he always knew that he himself had his own frailties. And that there was nothing he could not. He wasn't in a place of pomp, in a prideful position that he could look down on you. Tozer also says, "Jesus calls us to his rest, and meekness is his method. The meek man cares not for all who is greater than he, for he has long ago decided that the esteem of the world is not worth the effort." Isn't that cool? Meaning, who cares what the world thinks about me? If they know my sin, that's okay, because I need Christ. And no matter how far we progress in life, and my dad always taught me this, is no matter how far he progressed in his sobriety and in his life, he always found things in his life that opposed the grace of God. Meaning there was always room for improvement. He always was dependent on mercy. Do you show in your life that God is a God of mercy? The third thing that I learned is how to serve others. My dad's house was notorious for the door being open. And I mean literally open. Now, a little more about me. I grew up playing guitar. I started when I was a kid in the fifth grade. My dad used to play a lot of like Neil Young tunes, if that's your era, kind of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I remember going to concerts with my dad to see those guys, and some wonderful experiences with my pop just listening to music. And as I got a little older, around, I don't know, fifth grade or something, my mom took me to the music store, and I saw this cool Fender Strat, this awesome guitar, and I said, man, I want that. My mom got me lessons and everything like that. And so I grew up going to places that were on the Sunset Boulevard. I grew up not that far from there, so I grew up going to clubs like the Roxy, Gazzari's, Whiskey Go-Go, Coconut Teaser. Some of you guys are smiling. You go, oh, I know those. And being a kid and going in there, you know, it just like, it was awesome. You know, you see all the people, and I said, man, I got to grow my hair long. I got to get earrings. So, you know, you're in the fifth grade, and I'm in there in the bathroom piercing my ears and, you know, doing it and trying to look more like a girl, you know. It's just, I was growing my hair long, and I did a good job there, and those type of things. But I ended up hanging out with this crew, this crowd that fit the bill, so to speak. So they all had that kind of hair. They all looked the part. They all were into music and things like that. And I can't tell you how awesome it was to see so many of my friends as I got older and the drugs got harder, that they would come into my house and sit with my dad and talk to him. And just talk to him about sobriety, talk to them about life. And they always wanted, my dad was always in the business of serving others. My dad always told me, you want to get out of your junk? Serve. Serve other people. See, my dad taught me that you are not a good idol, Bo. God never intended for you to be worshipped. And when you become self-seeking, which James tells us in the book, chapters 3 and 4, are at the heart of all of our issues, all of the discomfort, all of the anxiety that you have in there, it's all this selfishness that's taking place in our life. So my dad taught me that you need to fix that by thinking of others. And that's why I've always loved one Calvary Chapel pastor, Gail Irwin. Any of you guys know him, but he always has these stickers that just say others. That's it. Stick it on your car. Others. It's not about you, Bo. It's about how you can help someone else in this life. And so do you find yourself stuck in the place of having a self-seeking heart? Our Lord in the book of John 13, 14 through 15 says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Are you willing to get in the lives of other people and simply serve them? Not with your agenda. Not to try to fix everybody. But to be slow to speak, quick to listen. Are you willing just to sit with people and listen to them? And you know what they're going to say. You've probably been there before. But you know that the best thing to do is to listen and to be patient. And let them talk. You know, my dad would always talk about this idea, about looking in the mirror and seeing the philosophy of self-sufficiency not paying off very well. Meaning sometimes when we look at ourselves in the mirror, what we can say is, you know what, the philosophy of self-sufficiency isn't paying off very well, Bo. And I could say that to myself, meaning my own self-sufficiency, relying on myself, is not getting the results that I wanted to get in life. I'm not having the peace that I wanted it to have. I find myself getting more into the pit of despair as I find myself more self-seeking. So the door was always open with my dad, and I hope to do the same. I hope to always keep my door open to help out. Are you investing in someone? Do you find yourself wanting to invest in people? Just because they're people, not because they're the kind of people that you like or that you're comfortable around. Because then it is all, again, about who? You. But you just are okay with helping people or investing in a person. The church is great. I love the church so much. You guys bring these things called teenagers to the church. And they usually are hanging out, some of them over there. And I love it because I just get to go over there and, you know, grab one of them and say, hey, how's it going? You know, here's some sugar. You know, try to give them something with some sugar in it. Kind of perk them up a little bit. And then just sit down with them and just start, hey, how's your life going? You know, and they kind of don't want to talk too much. And then, you know, gosh, yeah, well, blah, 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 blah. I start talking and just, blabbing stuff, you know, da 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 da. And pretty soon, you know, comes a conversation. Pretty soon they're telling me all kinds of stuff. And I'm not in their life to try to fix it. To try to go, oh, well, no. Wait, stop there. No, that's wrong. You need to do this. No. Just let them talk. And me just listen. And build. Just think of Jesus acted like most of us in conversations. Jesus would be like, Zacchaeus, no, stop, that's wrong. Peter, no, hey, don't go any further. I got a Bible quote for you there, too. I mean, it would be so weird. But Jesus wasn't like that. He actually talked and listened and was okay. He could hang out with a whore. Right? And talk to him. Talk to the person. Where we would be like, oh my gosh. Sometimes we are so wrapped up in self that we ourself won't let us see ourself. Our pride is so huge that it won't let us look at our own pride. And we need God to help us so that we can truly love, because God is a God of love. The last thing my dad I want to touch on is what he taught me to do is he taught me how to die. God is a God of grace. He's an amazing God of grace. It says in James 4:6 that he gives greater grace. I love that. James 4:6 says he gives greater grace. And as your trials get bigger, his grace will abound more. And I learned that in my dad's death. That as his trials grew bigger and bigger and bigger, and his body grew frailer and frailer and frailer, grace, man, was all over the place. It was palpable. I could touch, I could scrape it in the air. It was so palpable. We who are Christians know that it says, for our light affliction, our trials, which are just for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. The trials that we are going to go through in life right now are just preparatory for a greater trial. Did you know that? Whatever you're complaining about right now in your trial, the faith that it takes to get through this trial that you're in right now is preparing you to die. Did you know that? The faith that you are exercising right now in that trial is going to grow and become stronger. So when it is your time, that faith works. Because when it comes that time, you want it to work. Does that make sense? That is the time that we need our faith to be strong. And so every trial is just a preview of coming attractions. It's just prepping you. It's working the muscle of faith in you. Because there is the greatest lesson that you need to give your family, people, is not just when you live, but it's when you die. You will be teaching your kids and your family what it's like. And it'll be the greatest lesson they will ever receive, ever. See, I was fortunate in that my dad I told you I woke up at midnight. And I started writing. And he woke up at 1. And when he woke up, he didn't wake up like, you know, in a bed, like, hey, you know, I'm kind of tired. And, you know, and he wasn't on any morphine to kind of like just go down. My dad woke up. And I was like, whoa. And he woke up and he wanted to get up and he tried to stand up. And his body was just agitated. And he took off his oxygen because he's had COPD for years. Don't smoke, kids. That's my little plug. And he took off his oxygen, sitting up on the edge of his bed. And I go, Dad, you gotta put the oxygen back in. You know, you gotta put it in. You ain't gonna make it if you don't put it in. And he just grabs my hand so gently. And he just looks at me and he just goes, Bo, no. And I'm like, no? I don't think that's the answer I want. Wasn't no. I'm like, no, Dad, you really got to put it in. And he just look at me, those big brown eyes, and just go, no. And I knew my dad was doing something crazy. He was going to die. And he was comfortable with dying with me right there. It was his time. And it was beautiful how my dad never complained. He never said, this stinks. He never said, I don't want to be here. And believe me, his body was fighting him. He never said anything like that. The Bible tells us that we learn a lot from death from Jesus too. It says like a sheep led to the slaughter. So he remained silent. Even though he was going to his death, he remained quiet and steadfast. And man, that came to my mind in that moment, church. When I was in that moment, I thought of Jesus. I thought of our Lord, and I went, man, dude, our Lord went to the cross, silent, focused. And here I'm seeing my father die in such a meek way. Meaning in so controlled, yet so out of control. Meekness is that idea of strength under control. Where his body is out of control, trying to stand up, sitting back down. Bo, come here. Standing up, sitting back down. Until he, 2 hours this goes on. Until I get behind him and I cry out to God and say, God, take my dad. Now. Do it now. Please. And as my dad lay on the wall, I wrap my arms around his torso and he falls into my lap and dies. The last thing my dad sees is who? He sees me. But isn't that amazing? He falls into the hands of the Son and the Son holds him. Beautiful. Is that not a picture of us falling into the loving arms of our Savior, Jesus Christ? When he falls into my arms, he doesn't fall in trying to brace himself. He falls himself all the way. All of him is leaning on the Son. The last thing he touches is me. The last thing he sees is me. Beautiful. So quiet, 3 a.m, and there we are. Beautiful way to go. I'm very thankful that I was able to see my dad die like that. I think the most radical thing was that for me, such a God thing, is that I thought I was going to be the strong one in his death. I'm the healthy one. I'm the youngest of two boys, kind of the spitfire one. And you know who it was who was comforting me through it? Him. It was him. He's the one who, it's okay. It was him that was concerned for who? Me. The lesson is this, is that you never stop teaching. You might think you stop teaching, but you never, ever stop the education. You are always teaching your family about who God is in your life. Even up to the last breath, you are showing them through your actions who God is. I pray for 2018, we take these principles. God is an all-powerful God. Do you trust him with people? That God is a merciful God. Do you show mercy to people? God is a loving God. Is it seen through your love for other people in your loving service to them? And do you show in your life that God is a God of grace, man? That through your weakness, there is an abundance of strength within your weakness. God wants to do crazy stuff for us in 2018. Awesome stuff in us. It's up to us to say, God, we give you our lives. We commit our ways to your ways. Help us to walk in these ways. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you so much for how you move so powerfully in our lives, Lord. You radically speak to our hearts in amazing ways. And Father, you do that to change us. Lord, you tell us to look to you. You are the author, the finisher of our faith. You tell us to look to you that we will be saved. And Father, we pray that as we look to you, Jesus, that the fear and the insecurities, the resentments, the bitternesses, the discontentment, Father, that we feel in our hearts, the selfish ambition, the vain conceit, Father, the self-seeking, Lord, that you would help us, that you would free us of these things, that you would bring us back to you, Holy Spirit, that you would bring us back to a walk in and through and to be used by you, Lord. That 2018 would be one that we would, as a church, be fixed and focused on the upward call that you have for us in our families, in our neighborhoods. Father, wherever you have us, Father, that we would be examples of you, Jesus. Father, may we be just so impactful. So we need you, Holy Spirit, to do that work. Thank you for giving us opportunities to reflect on these principles. And we know you're going to do great things, so we're excited about it, Jesus. In your name, your precious name, we pray. Amen.